prepare for a truth revolution.
Actually, you can prove God exists.
Questioning tradition, because what you've been taught isn't always true.
The truth revolution.
Good morning, Truth Revolution. Dave and Jeff.
Welcome, Salina, to the Truth Revolution show.
He's the pastor of the Revolution Church. They're at 1111 West South.
That's right, and we're doing church this morning, so you're more than welcome to come on down.
So this is your wake-up call.
Today we're talking about angels. We're in the month of October, which is the famous Halloween at the end of October.
Right.
We all know about that. And so we're going to be talking about the spiritual side of things, angels, demons, near-death experiences.
Right.
And that's what we're going to be doing this month.
Wow.
So I'm pretty excited.
Kind of spooky, but...
I like these topics.
Yeah. Because by and large, things in the spiritual realm are not as what a lot of people here in the physical realm think they are.
Oh, tell me about it. Damn, man, I mean, everything in the spiritual realm, like our beliefs about them, is basically mythology.
Right.
Conjecture.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to hear a lady say that she wrote an entire book about angels. Based on her intuition.
Okay.
I mean, we got some crazy quotes today. Mm-hmm. We got some crazy stories about angels.
Okay.
If you want to hear this show again when we're done with it, head on over to truthrevolution.tv. We're going to get that up this week so you can listen to it, pass it on to your friends.
Right.
So you can show them what angels really are, all that information.
Right.
Also on our website, past shows.
That's right.
A place where you can ask questions.
Kind of behind right now, but we'll get them all caught up.
All sorts of stuff. So if you want to ask a question about God or angels or documents, or a lot of times on this show, we spend a lot of time proving God exists, proving Jesus rose from the dead, talking about the Bible, proving it's true. And so if you have any questions about those things as well, you know, last week we talked about the Jesus wife fragment.
Right.
Did Jesus have a wife? And so that's going to get up this week too. And so anyway, check out the website, ask questions, contact us. And
Totally. We love questions.
Let me tell you what, man. When I was in high school, and I was in my car, and my friend and I decided we want to see how fast my car would go.
Okay.
And you know, instead of going on a highway or on some side road, we decided to go on a road where there would be no police. So we went on this gravel road near the city dump.
To see how fast you could go?
To see how fast my car would go on a gravel road.
I'm sure thinking you got a lot smarter as you got older.
There's no guarantee.
Okay.
And we got on the gravel road. We started going 60, 70, 80. And by now, if you've ever driven 60, 70 on a gravel road, you know your car kind of floats a little bit. We got over 100, up to 110. We were nearing 120, and we got to the crest of this hill, and we started going down the hill, and we realized coming down the hill on the other side, down a hill, into a valley, was a dump truck.
Oh, great.
And we were going towards this dump truck at near 120 miles an hour. And the dump truck driver saw this as well. He instinctively slammed on his brakes.
Mm-hmm.
Which then, on a gravel road, if you slam your brakes, what happens to your car?
Oh, you're going
to
slide.
He started sliding, and he slid all the way sideways. He blocked up the entire road. And so now we're going on a one-lane gravel road at 100-some miles an hour towards a dump truck.
You guys didn't put on the brakes at all?
I didn't put on the brakes at all because, when you're... I mean, on the gravel, and you put on the brakes, nothing happens. We're already going 100 miles an hour. Right,
I got you.
And I literally closed my eyes and let go of the wheel.
Yeah, you were preparing to meet your maker.
I was.
Mm-hmm.
My friend did the same thing. He closed his eyes. He said, "We're going to die." We had our eyes closed for 3 or 4 seconds. I opened my eyes up. We were on the other side of the dump truck.
Okay.
On the other side of the dump truck.
What happened?
I don't know. That's the thing. I don't know. I said to my I grabbed the wheel and I started slowing down. So my friend, Mike, I said, "What happened?" He said, "I don't know. My eyes were closed." But we talked. We said there was no way we should have been able. I mean, especially with the eyes closed. But even without the eyes closed, we couldn't have gone around that dump truck.
Right.
Was this an angel that helped us? I mean, did we close our eyes and somehow miraculously we made it through?
That's why you should have left your eyes open.
Probably. We have a book here by a guy named Ron Rhodes. It says Angels Among Us. It's called Angels Among Us. Really good book. I appreciate and respect Ron Rhodes. He tells a story on page 17 about Reverend John G. Patton. He was a missionary in some exotic islands. And according to his testimony, the mission headquarters was surrounded by hostile natives one night. They apparently intended to burn the building to the ground and put John and his wife to death. John and his wife were the only ones there. But they turned to God. They threw themselves on God's mercy. They prayed and prayed and asked God to deliver them. They prayed all throughout the night. And when the first rays of sunlight came, they were amazed to see that the natives had left. The natives weren't even there trying to kill them. They were totally gone. About a year later, the chief of the tribe became a Christian. And when Patton asked the chief why they had refrained from burning the headquarters down that night, the chief said this: "Who were all those men you had there with you?" Patton said, "Well, there were no men. It was just my wife and I." And the chief went on to explain to Patton that he and his warriors had seen hundreds of men standing guard outside the headquarters at night, all dressed in shining garments with swords drawn.
Right.
The guards completely encircled headquarters, and the tribe dared not attack.
Wow.
Isn't that cool?
And that's coming from the mouth of a tribe leader who was not a Christian.
That was not a Christian who was intending on killing these guys.
Yeah, so he had no real reason to make that story up.
Right. No real reason. And, I mean, I could have made up my car story. I didn't. Right. But I could have.
Could have.
But here you have two different sources. You see both of the perspectives.
Mm-hmm.
Here, angels are part of Islam, Judaism, Christianity.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Of course, New Age craziness. But let me give you a few facts about angels, all right?
Okay.
Number one. Humans do not become angels.
Right.
I mean, we are not going to die and go to heaven and become angels. We are humans, and we're always going to be humans.
Yeah. Unfortunately, some people are looking forward to that.
Yeah, I'm sorry, but we are not going to be angels. God created angels. God created humans. We're always going to be humans. So appreciate your humanness. But also, number two, angels are not all equal. They have different ranks.
Really?
Yeah, they're not all the same. And this is just one potential interpretation of how you take this, but the first rank of it in the Bible... First rank is the archangel.
Mm-hmm.
The second is the cherubim, and the third is the seraphim. These are the different ranks.
Okay.
And so if you're a seraphim, supposedly you have to take orders and do what the cherubim tell you and the archangels.
You okay? Now, when you say cherubim, you're talking about the little baby angels, right?
Oh, brother. We're going to get to that in just a minute, Dave.
Oh, sorry. Well, I just got a picture in my mind of a little angel about a foot tall.
I know. When you say cherub.
Ordering people around.
Everybody's like, oh, the cherubs are so cute. I want to squeeze their cheekies.
Yeah.
No, he will kill you.
Oh.
All right? Let's just get that out of the way. Angels are not cute, cuddly, flying, glowing teddy bears, okay? especially the seraphim, their name comes from the root word of Hebrew meaning fire, burning, and poison.
Really?
Yeah. You don't want to touch these guys.
Right.
They're scary. Anyway, aside from that point, number three, angels have time and space limitations.
They do.
They are limited by time. Listen to the Bible, Daniel 9:21. While I was in prayer, Gabriel, that's an angel,
mm-hmm.
the man I'd seen earlier in the vision, came to me in swift flight. About the time of the evening sacrifice. So Gabriel comes in swift flight. He didn't just poof right in. He's hurrying to get there.
Uh-huh.
So he's limited by space, how he can get there, where he can go. He's limited by time. Now, they're not limited by space in the same way you and I are. Supposedly,
right.
God can place them wherever he wants to place them. But Daniel 10 says, then he continued, "Do not be afraid, Daniel." This is the angel talking. "Since the first day that you set your mind to gain understanding and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. And I have come in response to them. But listen to this. But the prince of the Persian kingdom resisted me 21 days. Then Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me because I was detained there with the king of Persia. Now I have come to explain to you what will happen to your people and blah, 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 blah."
Right. Now, who do you suppose the king of Persia was? Was that another demon? Or?
This could be a literal king of Persia. This could be Satan.
Mm-hmm.
There's a number of different interpretations. I'm not going to interpret that right now. But whatever the case, this angel was delayed by someone.
Mm-hmm.
This angel had a mission to accomplish, to go to Daniel, to tell Daniel something, and he couldn't do it. He was delayed for 21 days. This reminds me of God telling us, when you pray, be persistent. Keep on praying. Keep on praying.
Right.
What if Daniel had not kept on praying?
Right.
This angel is trying to get there for 21 days, and he couldn't, until Michael, the archangel, comes and helps fight the battle.
Right, and I see your point, because if you stop praying, and then you just kind of forget about what you're praying about, then what's the point of the angel coming to your aid?
Right. I mean, the angels had to fight a battle and then travel to get there.
Oh, you stopped praying?
Well, yeah.
I went through all that for nothing.
Whatever. Forget that, man.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't exactly imagine that's a conversation. But,
right.
Okay, here's number four. Angels, and this is going to really blow your mind and tick you off.
Okay.
Angels don't necessarily have wings.
They don't?
I'm sorry.
What?
Hebrews 13:2, some of them have wings. Some of them have wings, okay? We can say, I don't care, that's fine. Some of them have wings. But not always. Look at Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some people have entertained angels without knowing it.
That's true. And if they had wings, you would definitely know it.
You would definitely know it. Wow, there was this stranger today that I helped out. I wonder if he was an angel. I mean, he did have wings, was 8 feet tall and glowed.
Oh, no, he was a mutant.
But angels are also non-physical, so the wing thing isn't even really important.
Right.
If they show up with wings, that's because God showed them, made them appear with wings.
Could it be, perhaps, that sometime in the past, like in the medieval days, they drew them with wings to pronounce their power?
Yeah, probably. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, and there's a good, I mean, I'm trying to recall right now. If there's, I mean, we know some of the scriptures say that they have wings. Mm-hmm. Like the seraphim have multiple wings when they're flying around the throne of God. But we don't, just because an angel appears to you doesn't mean it's going to show up with these big golden wings.
Right.
So, angels are immortal. Luke 20, verses 36 says they can no longer die. Talking about people, they're no longer die. They are like the angels.
Right.
In other words, angels don't die. Again, you see in Daniel 9, Gabriel appears to Daniel. 500 years later, the same angel appears to Zechariah.
Huh.
So this angel's been doing the bidding of God for 500 years, showing up, telling people stuff.
Right.
At least he gets at least one job every 500 years.
Right. Wow.
Okay. And then to what you are talking about, Dave, are they cute and cuddly?
Yeah.
I want to squeeze their cheekies.
Every time I hear cherubim, I think of the Van Halen 1984 album, the little cherubim on the front.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think of like these commercials where they dress up babies with little wings on the back, and we think of these fat little babies as angels.
And that's not it.
Right. Okay. Luke chapter 1 of the Bible. Then the angel of the Lord appeared to him standing at the right side of the altar. When Zechariah saw him, the angel, he was startled and gripped with fear. I mean, he was freaking out, Dave.
The angel or Zechariah?
Zechariah.
Oh, okay. I'm just checking.
He was not... I mean, when he saw the angel, he wasn't like, guys, come look at this. It's like a majestic bunny rabbit appeared in the sanctuary. No! He was scared. He thought he was going to die. Listen, Luke 1:28, when the angel went to her and said, greetings, you are who highly favored. The Lord is with you. This is Mary.
Uh-huh.
Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said, do not be afraid. You found favor with God. Now listen to what the angel said.
Right. And typically, a lot of angels, whenever they appear to humans, they try and say that right off the bat.
Yeah.
Don't be afraid.
Don't be afraid. I mean, the angel says, greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord's with you. And it says, Mary was greatly troubled at his words.
Right.
Like someone shows up, hey, I've got a present. You're going to like it. Oh, no! Right. I mean, the very appearance of angels scares people, frightens people. I mean, that's what it is.
Mm-hmm.
And almost every biblical account of an angel showing up tells us that people are scared of angels. So, yeah. I mean, it's pretty...
So, hey, we got, 2 minutes till the break? Let's break out this Bible contradiction real quick and get out of the way.
Bible contradiction.
All right. This Bible contradiction today ought to be pretty easy for you, Jeff.
Okay.
All right. We're looking at Proverbs 26, verses 4 and 5 directly contradict each other.
Okay.
All right. Proverbs 26, verse 4 says, do not answer a fool according to his folly, or you will be like him yourself.
Okay.
Verse 5 says, answer a fool according to his folly, or he will be wise in his own eyes.
Okay.
So those verses...
Looks like a contradiction.
One follows right after the other. Do not answer a fool according to his folly. And then the other says, do answer a fool according to his folly.
Is this a Bible contradiction?
Is
Dave, the rule that I say all the time, over and over again, when you are looking at a Bible contradiction, just read your Bible, okay? And this would be a perfect example. You can take one verse, say, oh, the Bible says don't. Oh, the Bible says do. Mm-hmm. Look, if you read this, this is a couplet. It's two sentences, one right after another. It was meant to go together.
Okay.
If I come to you and I'm like, Dave, don't answer a fool according to his folly, and do answer a fool. You're going to say, okay, why did you say that? You're not going to say, you contradicted yourself.
Right.
You make no sense. You're like, what are you talking about, dude? Well, here's the deal. The Bible is just giving two scenarios that are both plausible. One, if you answer a fool according to his folly, he's going to continue to be a fool, and he's gonna spout off to you, and so maybe you don't want to answer him. But if you don't answer him, he's going to think he's wise because you didn't have an answer.
Right.
So it's saying, look, here's a way to handle a fool. You can either answer him or you cannot. Here's the result of either one.
Okay, gotcha.
And so this is not a contradiction. This is simply the Bible showing you two different options, two different ways to handle a fool.
Okay.
And that's really the answer for our Bible contradiction today.
Bible contradiction.
Told you it was easy.
Yeah. All right, truthrevolution.tv is our website. Just go to your computer, open up Firefox or Chrome. Don't use Internet Explorer because it's really bad. And we don't do product endorsements here. I'm just saying.
And you just endorse Firefox and Chrome.
Right. I'm just joking. Anyway, open a web browser and type in www.truthrevolution.tv. You can ask questions, listen to past shows, find out where our church is at, because church is at 10:15 this morning.
Yes, you can even donate to help help our cause, to keep us on the air.
That's right. And seriously, thank you to everyone who's donated to keep the show on the air.
We've been quite surprised lately.
We have been really surprised and blessed and happy.
We do appreciate it.
Yeah, so you make this show happen. And if you want to make this show happen even more, you can donate too. And maybe we'll even expand. We got a new church service thing going on in New Mexico. They're going to be watching our services live, or the recording of, hopefully live eventually.
Right.
And so we got something going on in New Mexico. We might even do some radio down there if we expand. So
that would be awesome.
So we'll see how it goes. All right, truthrevolution.tv. On the back of this break, we're going to come back, and we're going to talk about angels. And here's the point. Angels show up at the moment of death and escort believers to heaven. Now, I'm going to talk about why that is and how we know this is.
And see, I've heard that, but I always thought that wasn't the deal.
Yeah. This is, I mean, it's kind of crazy. Mm-hmm. When we die, and, you know, we'll get more to this at the end of the break, but we're going to find out, like, we judge angels. We're going to find out how many angels are, and you're going to hear a couple more stories about angels.
Okay.
I mean, this is kind of crazy. I want you to hear a Time magazine quote, okay? This is kind of ridiculous. It says, "For those who choke too easily on God and his rules, angels are the handy compromise. All fluff and meringue, kind, non-judgmental, and they're available to everyone like aspirin."
Obviously, that's a person that's never seen them.
This is the type of popular notion that drives me nuts. Because this is not biblical. This is not what reality is at all.
Right.
Angels are not like aspirin. They are not kind and non-judgmental. They are not fluff.
Right.
If you want serious fright, see an angel.
Right.
It will scare the snot out of you. On the back of this break, we're going to keep on talking about angels. You can hear some stories. We're going to look at a bunch of verses, and we're going to go through this really fast.
Okay.
So have your pen and pencil ready.
And pencil, is that one for each hand?
Yes. Put the pen in your left hand and the pencil in your right hand.
And get some paper, because we don't want you writing on the countertop or anything like that.
That's right. Okay, we'll see you on the other side of this break, and come over to Revolution Church by 10:15 this morning. Yeah. We're doing church there. We're starting a new series called Fail Men. So hope you can make it to that.
Fail Men?
Fail Men. It's going to be really good.
All right.
Revolution.
Angels.
And we're back talking about angels.
Beat you to the punch.
Thanks.
All right. Angels show up at the moment of our death and escort believers to heaven. Listen to this. Luke 16 says, "The time came when the beggar died and the angels carried him to Abraham's side."
Okay.
There's lots of reports of people seeing angels upon their death.
Yes.
All right. And we're going to do near-death experiences show up here soon.
Mm-hmm.
So, number 8, listen to this. We are going to judge angels.
Really?
We are. That's going to be one of our jobs. 1 Corinthians, "And if any of you has a dispute with another, dare you take it before the ungodly for judgment instead of before the saints? Don't you know the saints will judge the world?" Blah, 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 blah. He's saying don't sue each other in court because we're competent to figure it out ourselves. Mm-hmm. He says in verse 3, "Do you not know that we will judge angels?" 1 Corinthians 6, right there, we're judging angels.
Interesting.
Guess how many angels there are.
140 million.
There are 328.2. No, I'm just kidding. There are millions and millions of angels, all right? Revelation 5, I want to see how 0.2 angel exists. Revelation 5:11 says this, "I looked around and heard the voice of many angels, numbering thousands upon thousands and 10,000 times 10,000.
Wow.
Well, 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. So that's a lot. Now, St. Albert the Great, who lived about 1200 AD, said there were exactly 399,920,004 angels.
And four.
And four.
Okay.
Clement of Alexandria in the 2nd century suggested there are as many angels as there are stars in the heavens, which is billions.
Yes.
Now, that one is loosely based on Scripture. He got the idea from Scripture. But, yeah, I mean, we got all sorts of crazy ideas about angels all from all over the place.
Well, right, and a lot of the ideas that we have about angels aren't biblical at all.
Yeah, mm-hmm. No, absolutely. Hey, listen to this. This is a story. One day in 1977, Linda Gates, and again, this is from the book Angels Among Us by Ron Rhodes. Get it? A lady's four-year-old boy, she suddenly heard her four-year-old boy running down the hall. Then she heard a door slam shut. An unusual occurrence, because the door was warped, required adult strength to close it tightly.
Okay.
Upon going outside, Linda found Michael, his eyes wide. He said, "A man got me out, Mama! A man got me out!" Michael then led his mother to a smoke-filled room where a curtain was burning. As it turns out, Michael had been playing with a box of matches and set curtains on fire. As the firefighters put out the blaze, one of them told Linda that the smoke could have easily killed her son. Linda recounts, "Michael told me that a man with long blonde hair and a many-colored shirt had appeared at his door. And Michael, and he said to him, 'Michael, come out of there!' When my son went to look back for his teddy bear, the man pulled him out of the room." And this is when she heard the door slam as her son was running towards her. That evening, the bedtime story just happened to be about Daniel in the lion's den. The key verse for the story was, "My God sent his angel, and he shut the mouths of the lions. They have not hurt me because I was found innocent in his sight."
Wow.
So Linda believes that was an angel who saved her son from that fire.
Interesting.
Of course, most popular... I mean, there's nothing... unbiblical about that story.
Right. Well, it kind of puts a little bit of pressure on the kid because, I mean, it's like, well, what am I meant for? An angel saved me.
Yeah, really. But, you know, I mean, there's nothing wrong with that story. There's nothing to believe that story is not true necessarily, unless you just don't believe in angels. But most popular ideas of angels are just, they're not what angels are like. Most of them are wrong. Andre D'Angelo, pastor of the First Church of the Angels, says this: "You can't always get through to the CEO, but you can always get a good executive secretary. An angel's like a good executive secretary."
Wow. That's a little demeaning, actually.
That's crap. Okay, yeah. I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
That he just said that you can't always get through to God.
Right.
If there's anything in the Bible that is clear, is that God can deal with you.
Right.
He's not too busy.
Mm.
I mean, God is omnipotent, omniscient. He can hear you. You can get through to him. You don't need an angel to carry.
That means he's all-powerful and all-knowing for those who... those who didn't get a Bible scholar degree.
Yeah, funny. All right. Terry Lynn Taylor, she's a lady here. She says, "The main source I use for the book I wrote about angels..." What, do you like my lady voice?
Yeah,
"The main source
really.
I use for the book I wrote about my angels, was my strongest intuitions regarding angels. And of course, I ask the angels to inspire me at all times."
Really?
Seriously? Feelings instead of inspired truth from God's word. Like, I mean, she doesn't have any facts. She says she just used her intuition. In other words, she made it up.
Right. She writes what she thinks.
Listen. I mean, in this book, The Angels Among Us, it talks about different people have different ways to contact angels. And in one story here, this guy gives a workshop on how to contact angels.
Great. When is the next one?
It says, "You have to prepare a sacred space. And you have to, you know, see in your mind's eye a bridge appear before you and get up and walk across that bridge." And, oh, come on. Another one uses crystals. And I'm sorry, these things are just, it's just full of it.
Well, I mean, God makes himself available without using any kind of extra props or anything like that. You know, you don't need a crystal. You don't need, a bridge or anything like that.
You need a heart that's willing to go to God.
And God will meet you right where you're at.
That's right. Sophie Burnham says, "An angelic visit brings a calm and peaceful serenity. They descend sweetly over you." And this is true even when the angel's not seen.
Yeah, that's not biblical.
Let me tell you what's sweet and light-filled and wonderful when it comes to angels. 2 Corinthians, no wonder. Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light.
Mm-hmm.
So if you see an angel and you got warm fuzzies, it's the devil.
Probably.
What are angels here for, though? Well, the word angel describes their primary job. It literally means messenger. An example of an angel telling Mary she is with child, told Jesus' followers that he'd risen. Angel shows up, tells Philip to meet with this other guy, a eunuch. So that's their main job. Look at Psalm 103. "Praise the Lord, you his angels, you mighty ones who do his bidding, you who obey his word." Here we find out it's to do God's bidding and to obey God's word.
Right.
That's their main job. So pretty interesting. Here's another job of angels. If you look in Acts 12... verses 5 to 17. I'm not going to read the whole thing because it was long, but basically you see an angel showing up in prison when the Apostle Peter got arrested, and he leads Peter out of prison. That's pretty cool.
That is cool.
So one of the jobs of angels is to break us out. Great. Now, that was for a specific reason, of course.
Can he be charged?
There was an angel who killed King Herod because people shouted, "Herod is the voice of God," and Herod didn't say no. So God sent an angel to kill him.
So remember that.
An angel protected Daniel in the lion's den. So, I mean, angels have all sorts of different jobs. I mean, they're all over the place. Marlene Weishin, a 33-year-old mother in West Point, Nebraska, believes angels run her assistance. When her 6-year-old daughter's health took a drastic turn for the worse, Emily had a stroke at age 7 months, and she's been handicapped. But years later, Emily became ill while the family was vacationing, and this is her account. "Last year, we went on vacation to Yellowstone National Park. On the way home, Emily said she didn't feel well. She started vomiting. Her eyes weren't focusing. We needed to go to a hospital, but the nearest one was 70 miles away. Emily kept getting worse, and as we approached Rock Springs, I prayed we would find help quickly. Just then, we saw a blue and white hospital sign. There were 3 or 4 more signs that led us straight to the emergency room. A doctor at the hospital quickly diagnosed Emily as having a seizure, able to stabilize her without anticonvulsants. When the moment of crisis was over, Ms. Weichman mentioned that the signs had been a lifesaver. The doctor looked at me and said, 'What signs?' He traveled that road every day, and there were no hospital signs.
Ooh.
But all 4 adults in the van had seen the signs.
Wow.
We went back and looked again. They were gone. I called someone at the Chamber of Commerce who said there have never been any hospital signs on that route. Right. I believe they were put there by God or his angels."
Evidently, God has a construction crew.
I guess so.
Your job is to put up signs.
Yeah. Here, if you want love and joy and peace and gentleness, it's not angels. Galatians 5:22 says the fruit of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control.
Right.
So if you want those things, you need to find the Holy Spirit of God, not angels. Our trust isn't angels. Our trust is in God and in each other and our ability to care for each other with love and gentleness. This is why we do church, that we can care with each other and love each other with love and gentleness. This is why we seek God, because God and his Holy Spirit are the ones that provide this joy, not angels.
Right.
Angels simply do the bidding of God, and that is all.
Right. Would you say that kind of like, you know, there's God and then there's angels down on one leg of the tree or one branch of the tree, and then there's humans down the other branch of the tree? We're kind of equal, but, you know, we don't look to angels to get to God.
Sure. Right now we're under angels technically.
Yeah.
But we will be over angels because we'll be their judges.
Interesting.
But right now they're over us in authority. So, but we're both servants of God.
Right.
Absolutely. So if you want something, don't go to an angel. Don't seek an angel. Seek God.
Right. That'd be like
Jesus.
That'd be like me seeking you.
Yeah.
For, you know, of course, I mean,
don't
you're
seek
my
me.
Pastor, but.
Well, still, I'm there to teach,
right.
not to be God's place.
Right.
So, hey, check us out, truthrevolution.tv. Come on over to Revolution Church. We're starting in like 15 minutes.
Or so, thereabouts.
10:15 a.m. Mm-hmm. So come on over. We would love to see you there. If you come, shake my hand. I want to meet you.
There you go. Yeah. Introduce yourself to Jeff.
Do something unexpectedly kind for people this week.
Mm-hmm.
Be not an angel, but be an agent of God to this
there
week.
There you go.
All right. Have a great week. We'll see you at Revolution Church, truthrevolution.tv.